You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station,
one day,
everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Obviously, we talked about the story a little bit. PNJ did an extensive report on it. You tell us what happened from your point of view with the campaigning and the truck and the pole and the fire and the whatever you want to say.
Well, there wasn't a fire because I was there with the fire department with Charles Thornton. So I don't know where they missed that. And then Charles had called Molly yesterday to tell her there wasn't a fire, but she never called him back.
All right, so this is interview. That's kind of the intro of the interview that I did with Mike Kohler last Friday, talking about the incident where he was out canvassing and he left his truck in gear and got out inadvertently and it ran into a pole. And, you know, then there was some incidents after that, including a spark and a fire, or at least something like a fire. And I want you to hear some of what he said as context for what I'm then going to play, which is the resident and the PNJ's follow-up with her and how she took the fact that we did an interview in which we were kind of joking around about all of this. And again, I'll give you some context here before we get to all that.
I was on Cypress on K Street, and I pulled over to read my walk list. Charles was down the street because we kind of work in sync. We've done this quite a bit, you know, when I have people work with me. So I was looking at my walk list, and I had my foot on my brake. Someone came by and hit their horn, right? I looked over, and I think it was a supporter, and I thought, wait a minute. Charles is down the road. I looked out. I couldn't see him. I opened up my door, and I got out, forgetting to put my car in park. The car rolled forward a few feet, hit the pole. A spark went from the thing. That's all that happened. I went and put the car in park. I walked toward the house. A man came out. This was the strange place. This is where it gets strange. Guy wouldn't give me his name. Told me he didn't live there. He just came there once in a while. That the person that rented there wasn't home, and he wouldn't give me her name.
All right, so just his TikTok account of what happened, not TikTok the app, but, you know, running down the events like a clock ticking. You know, he runs into the, he leaves the car in gear, runs into the pole. Nothing else seems to happen. There was maybe a spark or something like that. He, you know, turns around. The man comes out of the house, won't tell him anything, won't tell him who he is.
I went back. All this happened in less than 10 minutes. The fire department was there. Someone called the fire department. I don't know who it was. So I was there with the fire department. There was no fire, so they couldn't get in touch with the owner. I didn't know who the owner.
So he did not see a fire, or he was told there was no fire. In either case, that was his perception of things. And then, and you know, the what had happened. Well, I'll tell you what happened in the meantime. But final comments. I just want, again, get you the context of how we were talking about this.
I did get out of my car, and it was unattended for a few seconds, and it hit the pole. That's a legitimate charge. I'm not going to fight it.
Oh, okay. So, for the moments when the actual accident was caused by the fact that the car was ongoing and you were not in it, that's the charge. Okay.
That makes sense. Even okay. though I was right next to the vehicle.
Okay.
But that's true. I mean, I'm not, that happened. I'm not going to fight it.
So he caught a charge with PPD for an unattended vehicle, which is correct. Okay.
That makes sense.
Even okay. I think the problem is it's been described as a hit and run when it was actually a hit and walk.
Yeah, it was
or it was a walk and hit and walk. I'm not quite sure how to describe it exactly.
No, it was a hit and watch. And
okay, so we were joking about it, and, you know, we came in with a song that was kind of making fun of the whole situation. And I'll just tell you, at the time, what I thought was this was sort of a no big deal. This was sort of funny. Frankly, I thought it was funny that it was getting all the attention that it was getting from the PNJ. So then PNJ does a follow-up. Molly Barris, who's a good friend, and she's a good journalist, and she does a follow-up with this woman who is very angry. Her name is Michelle McCloskey, and she's the resident in the home. She was not at the home at the time. It was her dog walker, I believe, based on her account, that was there. He's the one who caused that called the fire department. And there's a lot more to this. But she has been seriously adversely harmed because of this incident. And so when she heard us talking about it on the radio and heard us joking about it and making light of it, she was very offended by that. And I'll be honest, based on what she says happened as a result of this incident, I'd be pissed off too. So I certainly didn't know at the time any of this. And, you know, I think based on what I knew, I handled it right. And we always like to have fun. But I understand, you know, making jokes might offend somebody, making jokes, especially when you don't have all the facts. And I did not yet have them all. So, and I don't think Mike did either. And I'm sure that if he sort of knew all the follow-up to all this, that, you know, it would bother him in a way, and he wouldn't be joking about it the same way. But here, some of her account, again, PNJ put, and I really appreciate Molly not just writing the article, but then posting the video interview so that I could really hear it from her. Because for some reason, it didn't sink in the text version. It still seemed kind of exaggerated and silly to me. But when I watched the interview, and it was like 20, 25 minutes long, a lot of black space in there that was nothing, but that was a very long thing. And I watched all of it. And I want to play some of that for you in just a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
There is a vehicle crash with injuries, Beulah Road at Frank Reeder Road. They're saying there's a roadblock associated with that. Also, a vehicle crash with injuries, North Pace Boulevard at West Hayes Street. Roadblock there, too. Be safe out there. I'm PJ with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, PJ. All right, so we finally got enough context where I can play you the audio from Michelle McCloskey, who is the resident who said that she suffered a whole variety of harms as a result of this fairly minor traffic thing involving Mike Kohler.
So he hit that pole, and when he did, the impact was so hard, it pulled that main wire, which yanked that weatherhead. And like I said, it cut all those wires, which is ignited. Whether they want to call it a fire or not, I'm from up north. When we have wires that burn, we call that a fire. Maybe in the south they call it something different, but to me, anything that has heat, sparks, flames, we call it a fire where I come from. So I'm going to say electrical fire because it burnt everything, which I have pictures of all the stuff charred. So all that had to be replaced.
So was it a flames licking out the window, needing to have a pumper truck put it out? No. Was it electrical damage by some kind of an overheating slash fire? Yes, she says. And honestly, the plausibility of this seemed so weird to me, too, because, like, you can hit a pole and it pulls a wire and it causes a fire somewhere else. It's kind of like you can believe it could happen, but you could also think, like, how is that likely? Well, fairly unlikely, but apparently quite serious.
Where my problem is, I wasn't going to say anything. I was going to let the landlord handle everything. But when he went on that radio station and thought it was so funny and made joke of it, unbeknownst to him, because he never came and knocked on my door to see if everything was okay. I had 10 puppies in the house that were supposed to get spayed and neutered that day. Thank God Demarius was here to get everybody out of the house.
That's the dog walker.
I had no electricity for 2 days because we had to remove all that, and we had to get a private electrician in because the damage was so extensive and into the house. Florida Power don't even fix that. So Kristen, the landlord, had to pay for that out of her pocket. Well, when Florida Power came to reinstall the electric the following day, they ran over my water line, broke my water line, so then I had no water for 2 days.
So no water for a couple days, electricity's not working, you know, there's going to be lost income here. She's got puppies she's worried about because she runs a dog rescue, apparently out of her house in some capacity.
Over $2,000 worth of vaccinations and medicine that had to be kept at temperature. So
in the fridge,
I had to choose between my $2,000 worth of vaccinations and medicine and my food in my refrigerator and freezer that my neighbor was going to let me put in her refrigerator. She didn't have room for everything. So obviously I chose the vaccinations and medication because it was more than the food. The food was probably a couple $100, which I replaced last night. So I had to move all that out of there. Then I had to get me and my dogs a hotel room. Well, I have 4 dogs of my own, so it's not easy to find a hotel that'll accommodate 4 dogs.
I guarantee you that's 100% true.
I had to leave my salon, cancel all 5 color appointments for the day. I had no electric, no water, no cable, no internet, so I wasn't able to work all week. I just got internet back Friday night at around 7 o'clock. They finally had that hooked up. So for him to go on that radio station and laugh and joke and pick a song that fits him and tell all these lies that he told, it to me is disrespectful the least of anything.
Now, she's said repeatedly that Mike Kohler lied. I'm not sure that there were lies. And I think this is a big misunderstanding, frankly. That's my interpretation. I think that he didn't think it was any big deal, and that's why he was surprised that it got the news coverage that it did. And so when I had him on to respond to the news coverage and we were laughing about it, it was because neither of us thought that it was anything serious. And then when I obviously watched her interview with the PNJ, I thought, oh, wow, that was a whole lot worse than certainly I perceived. And had I known that she was, you know, trying to figure out how to keep her puppies alive in a hot house in a day when the power's out and the water line gets broken and she's got to go live in a hotel with her puppies for a couple of days. And you know, I'm like, I mean, that sucks. That's horrible outcomes and inconvenience. And then, you know, when you hear me and Mike joking around about it like it's no big deal, I get why that would be frustrating. And I certainly wouldn't want that to be me. So I wouldn't, you know, have wanted that to be her. So I'm sorry that it caused that kind of, you know, frustration for her to hear me talking about it that way. Again, if I'd have known any of this, I would have treated it completely differently.
So he, like, is just standing outside of my house rubbing salt in the wounds, you know, taking pictures and like, thinking it's so funny. And there was nothing funny about it. I mean, I lost work. I lost my food. My house, you know, I was displaced out of my house. I had no electricity, no water, you know, nothing. Well, he got to go home every night, have electricity, have air conditioning, you know, stay in his house, hot water, shower, internet, cable. You know, he wasn't affected by this at all.
So is she describing circumstances that she suffered because of what he did? Yes. Would I normally have covered this as a news story? I probably wouldn't have, except that the PNJ did, and I wanted to give Mike a chance to respond. And why am I bringing it up again when it's not really that big of a thing? Well, you know, because I played a part in causing this woman, you know, irritation or frustration because of how we joked around about it. So I'm sorry for that. And I, you know, like I said, if I had known that it had caused this kind of problem for her, I certainly wouldn't have been joking about it. At this point, I mean, clearly the accident caused the problem and, you know, Mike's insurance should cover whatever cost she incurred. You know, they need an insurance claim or they need a mediator or something like that. And I have not reached out to Mike or talked to him since I, you know, just haven't. But I have to assume that he would be willing to help out more as a result of finding all of this out. So anyway, that's the reason I wanted to talk about it. I've had a couple people kind of, you know, mention it to me or ask me about it. And so I thought, you know, let's talk about it on the radio. 7:21 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. One more quick thought. I make a lot of jokes. Jokes don't always rub everybody the right way. I apologize for that, but I'm not going to stop making jokes. But I will try to be as informed as I can before I make them. And it's true. When you don't know everything and you make a joke, you certainly run a risk of it being going in the wrong direction. So 7:21 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Someone recently asked me, do you believe in guardian angels? And my answer is yes, but only for the Christian. In a rhetorical question, Hebrews 1:14 explains that angels are sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So Christian person, since you're saved, an angel has been sent forth to minister to you. And remember, Psalm 103 explains that angels excel in strength. Angels are colossal beings. They are greater in power and might than the strongest of men. However, as strong as angels are, Jesus is stronger. As wonderful as it is to think about the many ways that angels serve us, Jesus served us in a far greater way by giving his life a ransom for us. Angels are created beings, and they're wonderful, but Jesus is the eternal creator God. So rejoice in Jesus today.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you believe the destination is the journey, you'll love exploring in our new 2026 Subaru models, like the all-new 2026 Outback, strikingly redesigned with sharp lines and more edge, and now with financing as low as 3.9% for an amazing 75 months. Or how about the roomy Subaru Crosstrek or the family-sized Descent? Finance either one for 2.9% for 75 months. And the long-lasting and capable Subaru Forester. Drive one home for only 1.9% for 75 months. All come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take on every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Crosstrek, Ascent, and Forester. Love is out there. Find it in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you. Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
One last thing. Who's the better pilot? You or me?
This is a nice moment. Let's not ruin it.
Hey, it is one more quick thing on this. Mike Kohler and the poll and the woman who's very upset, particularly about how the interview between me and Mike went. I do want to say that I really appreciate that the P&J kind of followed up, because I wouldn't have even known that she was upset or known all the facts around. And I always say this. If I say something you disagree with or something that's wrong, please tell me. I want to know. I think that a lot of times people kind of let their hurt or their wound or their frustration just kind of simmer, and they don't ever do anything about it, and they don't let you know. And then how can you fix it? You know, life is going to be, people are going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes. People are going to do things that irritate you. I'm going to do things that irritate you. I would always rather find a solution to it. And that requires you to know the thing happened. Even, you know, and you might think, why are you spending so much? It's just one woman, one member of our community, you know, one neighbor, one person, and I care about all of them. Andrew, you offend people all the time. Yeah, but I try to only offend the people who deserve it. You know, so they should know better. So anyway, 720. And I, you know, this is, there's another thing here that's not related to this exactly, but I think about this all the time. The stories that we report on, especially crimes, you know, like serious things, it weighs on me all the time how we talk about these things and it's the family member of somebody who's listening, you know, because it's here, it's us, or it's, you know, it's my neighbor that happened to. And I haven't even yet, doing this for 12 or 13 years, I haven't yet figured out exactly how to do it the right way. But my hope is always that if we're talking about any of these incidents, and, you know, the nitwit incidents are a different matter, but, you know, the real serious stuff that happens, that the, if the family's listening, I would hope that we do it in a way that they don't find offensive, or that they don't find to add to the hurt that they already have suffered. You know what I mean? Because that's, again, we're supposed to be here to serve the community, and that's a part of it too. Let's see. PJ is in for John Pickens today with Traffic on the Fives.
Traffic's brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Taking a look at the big board, we have a vehicle crash with injuries, North Pace Boulevard at West Hayes Street. They're saying there's still a roadblock associated with that. Also, a vehicle crash with injuries, Beeler Road at Frank Rita Road. Roadblock there, too. I'm PJ with your traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you wake up in the morning and you don't feel better than when you went to sleep, well, could be some things. And one of those things is the mattress. If you wake up feeling sore or not rested, or it hurts you, or you have a hard time falling asleep, or it's not a very deep sleep, you're always restless, and you could need a new mattress. And, of course, probably you know that. But you're just reluctant to go to the mattress store because, you know, oh, those mattress store people and the price, it's going to be expensive. A good mattress is not going to be cheap, right? And because you get what you pay for. But think about it this way. A mattress is medical care. A mattress is a medical device. I mean, it is taking, it's health care for your body. And you need good sleep. And that means you need a good mattress. So go to the Sleep Center. They've been doing this for 30 years. They were originally in Eastgate. Now they're on the north side of Creighton, just east of Davis. They have the space foam, you know, the Tempur-Pedic memory foam. It's patented. If somebody else were to come up with one that's the same, they couldn't make it because it's patented. So they're the only ones who have it. If you don't like the memory foam, or maybe what you like is the, you know, the hybrid with the coils, I actually kind of prefer that. But the point is, go there and talk to them and they'll teach you what you want to know, or they'll just leave you alone if that's what you prefer. Okay, either way, no commission, so there's no pressure. Best selection, best service, best price. Talk to Thane Taylor, the owner. He's been here for 30 years. You know, they had their best year last year. Often imitated, never duplicated. The Sleep Center on the north side of Creighton, just east of Davis Highway. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Secretary of War Pete Hegseth has fired U.S. Navy Secretary John Phelan, the Pentagon issuing a statement on Wednesday saying they were grateful for Phelan's service and wishing him well in his future endeavors. President Trump set to give some remarks today on health care affordability, that event being held in the Oval Office and scheduled for 2 o'clock this afternoon. And I've been seeing this story all over the place. R&B singer David, which is spelled D4VD, will be in court today. And he's apparently pleaded not guilty to the murder of a 14-year-old girl. Authorities claim the 21-year-old singer killed Celeste Rivas Hernandez after she threatened to go public with crimes that he was committing. Her remains were found in the trunk of a Tesla that was registered to him.
All right. Thanks so much, David. 729 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, I do not have to. Oh, you know, we were talking a minute ago about the DHS and how they're like bartering for office supply. I'm kidding you not. Like they're, you know, I'll give you, 10 sheets of paper for 13 staples. Like it's really bad. But CISA, the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, you don't hear a lot about them. They're the ones who are basically protecting the nation. You know, we've got, elements of the of their operation are over at Cory Station. This is a very, very important operation. They're part of DHS. More than half the workforce at CISA is furloughed right now. Half the cyber warriors for the United States Agency for Infrastructure and Security are furloughed right now. The acting director, Nick Anderson, told Congress that staffing has dropped to about 40%. Sharply limiting their ability to monitor threats and conduct outreach. Nation-state actors like China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea are continuing to probe U.S. infrastructure, always looking for opportunities. Basic vulnerabilities like default passwords or internet-connected systems. CISA has managed to maintain core defensive operations, according to CBS News, but including coordination with intelligence and law enforcement, with the broader ecosystem of preventative outreach, proactive risk mitigation, all that has been severely curtailed. So this hissy fit, this spat in Congress, is having real-world implications on people's lives and our national security.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop with the War Department announcing the seizure of another oil tanker linked to Iran in the Indian Ocean. But there's not much movement in the Middle East conflict.
Officials say the Iran war is at a standoff. The blockade remains in place. The Strait of Hormuz remains closed. President Trump says there is no expiration to the ceasefire.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson at the White House. While most of us were sleeping, senators voting for a budget plan to fund ICE and Border Patrol. Democrats' outrage with the bill now goes to the House. Wildfires burning in the southeast.
Both of those fires burning on the Florida-Georgia line. 10% containment. Weather conditions are not working in our favor. It's going to be a hot, dry day. And we're also looking at a little bit of wind.
That is Fox weather meteorologist Britta Merwin reporting. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3 Sunshine. It's a beautiful morning, 64 degrees right now, and we'll get a full check on our weather with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. A 33-year-old Pensacola man has died after a motorcycle crash on I-10 Wednesday. The Florida Highway Patrol says a Hyundai Tucson drifted into that motorcyclist's lane. Now, this happened yesterday about 5 p.m. at mile marker 10, caused the motorcyclist to crash into the guardrail. He died at the scene. The 25-year-old man driving the Hyundai was not injured, but so far it's unclear why that driver veered into the motorcycle's lane. The crash is under investigation. Well, the Pensacola Council of the Navy League of the United States is hosting its annual enlisted recognition breakfast this morning. This is happening right now at Seville Quarters Heritage Hall in downtown Pensacola. That begins at here a couple minutes ago at 7:30 this morning, honoring enlisted service members from commands at NAS Pensacola and other area military installations. Governor DeSantis has appointed Santa Rosa County Judge Matt Gordon to one of two open circuit court seats in the First Judicial Circuit. Gordon was among 14 applicants for the position, left vacant by the retirement of two Escambia County judges. The governor had appointed Gordon as a Santa Rosa County judge less than 2 years ago. He'll now need to fill Gordon's vacated county seat as well. A second circuit court appointment has not yet been confirmed. Driving on Highway 90 in Santa Rosa County is about to get a little smoother. The county finalizing a technology upgrade that'll bring all traffic signals along the corridor into a remotely controlled smart system, allowing real-time timing adjustments without having to send anyone out to the intersection.
Right now, you have to, if the traffic light hasn't been upgraded, you have to manually go out there, adjust the timing and all that. Well, this could be adjusted on the fly.
And that's County Administrator Brad Baker. This upgrade, part of more than $2 million invested in smart signal infrastructure along Highways 90 and 98 over the past few years. Baker says the state will be reimbursing ongoing maintenance costs, and also the county in negotiations with the city of Milton and FDOT about addressing backups along Carolyn Street corridor near the bridge. Well, have you forgotten the art of cursive writing? News Radio's Chris Bryan with this report. He says, get ready to help your kids with writing assignments.
What used to be the norm went away. Now it's back again. A new Florida law will bring cursive writing back to classrooms. Starting July 1st, Senate Bill 182 requires students to learn cursive beginning in third grade and be proficient by fifth. Cursive was dropped when Florida adopted Common Core back in 2010, but this bill now makes the requirement state law. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
And Escambia County taxpayers being reminded of a deadline to avoid penalties. Tax collector Scott Lunsford sending a notice out yesterday saying all unpaid 2025 real estate and tangible personal property taxes need to be paid by April 30th. Now, this is to avoid being listed as delinquent. More than $22 million in taxes have yet to be paid, and that's about 4% of the county's tax roll. Payments can be made online by midnight on April 30th, in person by 4:30 p.m. that day, or through drop boxes by the end of the day. Again, unpaid accounts will be publicly advertised in May, and additional fees will apply to late payments. 735 at News Radio. PJ's got our traffic on the fives.
Traffic brought to you by Barbary Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the Best of the Bay winner, Barbary, 477-8782. Taking a look at the big board, I-10 and 110, both flowing smooth. Still a vehicle crash with injuries, Beulah Road at Frank Rita Road, road blocking in that area. Also, a vehicle crash with injuries, North Pace Boulevard with West Hayes Street, roadblock there too. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We will see a small chance of rain this afternoon, 20% chance overall, otherwise partly cloudy skies, high near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. For Friday, partly cloudy skies, 30% chance of rain, high near 79. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Heading into Saturday, partly cloudy skies, 40% chance of some showers and thunderstorms, high near 81. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 68. This is Burke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
63 right now. We've got partly cloudy skies and looks like the sun peeking out. It is 63 in Pensacola, 60 in Milton, 62 in Gulf Breeze. Your next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Murray with your money now. ServiceNow CEO Bill McDermott is downplaying concerns that the Iran war is materially disrupting the company's business, even as the software provider's first quarter results were dented by delays in the Middle East. McDermott said on CNBC, quote, everything is fine. The Middle East is opening up in talks again. ServiceNow subscription revenue grew 19% on the constant currency basis in the quarter. Lululemon has announced that it has chosen former Nike executive Heidi O'Neill as its new CEO. She takes over as Lululemon battles weak sales, increased competition, and a proxy battle. O'Neill will assume the role in early September. Oil prices are slightly higher with no progress on the U.S.-Iran peace talks and the Strait of Hormuz still being closed. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at roughly $93 per barrel, Brent at roughly 102. Futures are slightly lower as the Iran war continues. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 340, the NASDAQ up 397, the S&P 500 up 73. That's your money now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
That's the sound of an old box full of sterling silver flatware that you'll never use. Do you have a handful of old nugget jewelry, broken chains, and class rings? At today's gold and silver prices, these items are worth thousands of dollars. If you could use some extra money, come see Clayton or Sarah at Antiquarian Jewelers in Gulf Breeze proper, where they've been continuously paying top dollar for anything made of precious metals since 1978. Antiquarian Jewelers buys and sells gold and silver coins, too, located at 12 Live Oak Street next to Dunkin' Donuts.
Hurricane season begins June 1st, but preparation starts now. Florida's severe weather season is underway, and the same steps that help you prepare for hurricanes, making a plan, gathering supplies, and staying informed, also help protect you during severe weather today. For simple, step-by-step guidance, visit FloridaMakeAPlan.com. One plan can help you prepare for many storms. Brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the University of Florida, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you. On your phone, on your computer, wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone, we have Eric Winstrom. He is the chief of the Pensacola Police Department, relatively new chief. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it. Yeah, 7 weeks in. Still relatively new.
Okay, but we've had a change of status since the last time we talked a couple of weeks ago. You are now a real cop in Florida?
As of yesterday at about noon, I am official. Yeah, I had to spend the last couple weeks taking some mandatory training. They did not take it easy on me. I was out at a driving course, again, navigating cones. I spent a full day Sunday on the range, shot, I don't know, 300 or 400 rounds. And then yesterday I took the state mandated written test and passed. So, but they did not take it easy on me because I was a chief at all.
Now, is this, I'm kind of curious, did you go through the same, is it the same certification that any law enforcement officer in Florida goes through, or was there some heightened scrutiny because you're the chief? I just don't know.
Well, if you come from out of state, what they do is they look at the records that you bring with you. So I gave my Chicago Police Academy records, all the in-service training that I'd done throughout my career, and they look at it and they say, what's equivalent to what we're doing now, and what are you lacking?
Okay.
And that we need you to know in Florida, and they have to put you through that. So there could be a little bit different, but as far as did they treat me different from I was chief, when I was out on that firing range, and it was a retired officer who really knows his stuff was standing next to me given my qualification course, I kind of felt a little added pressure that, he doesn't give breaks to anybody. He didn't care if I was a chief or not. So I thought they actually were a little bit harder on me, but that's a positive thing.
Yeah, that's great. Was it at the sheriff's office one over there on the west side of town on Longleaf? Is that the one you were at?
Very thankful that they let us use that range. It would be great. You know, they're very busy and we're busy too. And training is so important to me. It would be great if we found some alternative to that too, to take some pressure off them. But I know land isn't cheap, and finding some place that you can fire some rounds without disturbing the neighbors is sometimes hard.
Yeah, and I know they're very busy at that facility. And they've got the shoot house now. I mean, it's a great facility. Is that something you're looking to develop? Is a like a PPD devoted facility? Then I mean, certainly you could outsource it to GBPD or Milton or whatever.
Absolutely, but I think I'm a good steward of public funds, and the bottom line is those are expensive. So
yeah.
So maybe a partnership if we could explore that. Maybe some nice philanthropic group wants to come along and say, hey, we understand there's a need here, and it's great for training. And we want to see what we can do. So, but that's definitely on my list of possible opportunities, but mindful of the budget.
You know, okay, this is completely like the third level tangent to my original question of how you got certified. But does anybody ever do like a business that would have a shooting range that is at the standard that you could use for police qualifications? Because it seems like, you know, the kind of people who like to shoot guns would love to shoot on a real range, you know, that the cops might use. And then that would be a public-private partnership kind of opportunity. I just don't know if that even happens in the industry.
Absolutely, and it does happen, and I've experienced that myself in a couple places that I've worked that take those opportunities. I mean, you just got to make sure all the insurance is up to date and ready to go, and you can have those public private partnerships.
That's so cool.
Absolutely, right. Possibility. Sometimes the limitation is just size.
Yeah,
a lot of these private, especially the indoor ranges, they might only be 5 or 6 lanes.
Sure.
So that's a concern.
And I know this is, we're kind of still on this, but the driving, was it over at Brunson Field where you ran through the cones? Because I had a chance to do that last year, and I learned that I can never, ever do the shuffle steering. I have tried the shuffle steering. I cannot. I mean, I can, but I hate it so much.
You get in these mindsets of doing something for 20 years, and the shuffle steering is something that was new to me, and they were, you know, I had to do it
to pass,
to survive the day, to get through it. But, yeah, it was pretty intense.
Yeah,
whole
I mean,
day
like,
over there, and yes, that's where it was.
I mean, I'm 55. I've been driving since I was 16 years old, 38, 39 years. I'm not learning to steer for new. I can do it to pass, but I don't want to do it. All right, so let's talk about some things.
Go ahead. I was going to say, when I started shooting on Saturday, they had the optics with the red dot in them. Like,
yes.
You're looking through a fire.
Yes.
And that's really good if that's how you train, but I've been shooting for, you know, 26 years without it. So I asked him, I was like, can you turn this off while I shoot? It's really distracting. I had to get that. So it's something I'll need to train up on.
No, you know, I had the exact same. That's so funny. Cause I was like, everybody swears by it. You know, my son who loves guns, he's like, Dad, you just got to convert. And all the cops obviously use the red dot. And I'm like, I hate it. Give me an iron sight, man. I don't know how to do this thing. So that's so funny.
Yeah.
Not a lot of big high-profile news incidents this week, but I did want to ask you a couple of things that are going on that are interesting. Obviously, we had this First Amendment auditor thing with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, and I know I've talked with Mike Wood, the PIO, about this. You know, there are all kinds of these things out there, but you saw this video, or you saw enough of it. How do you train police? Who I know what you hire for is you hire good people that can be trained to be cops, right? How do you train for those kind of handling stress, handling conflict, de-escalate? You know, how do you train for this to be more effective? Not just that situation, but in general.
It's tough because we hire only human beings.
Yeah.
And you expect to put a robot cop out there and just, you know, be stoic all times. But we are humans. And I understand that. So one of the things that I do, literally every recruit that I've ever hired as chief, so on hundreds of now officers, on their first day, I would sit down with them with the command staff and go over expectations. And the very first expectation that I say is something that helped me when I was young. Now, somebody told me it was when you start your job, keep in the back of your mind or the front of your mind that somewhere around 30% of your paycheck, we are paying you just to have your feelings hurt, so that when you're standing out there and somebody's trying to get under skin and you're going back to your human sense of, you know, I have to react to this. They're talking about, you know, I mean, people say the craziest things. They're talking about my mom. They're talking about my family. And the human in you reacts. If you can just revert to remembering, hey, wait a minute, this is my job is just to stand here and get my feelings hurt. You can actually rationalize it and overcome it and say, like, okay, I just stand here. I'm getting paid to do this. This is kind of takes you to another place, but it is hard. Now, having said that, in this deputy's defense, I realize there's no law about being an ignorant jerk, but these First Amendment auditors, I mean, the best thing for that guy probably was the fact that he was interacting with someone with a badge and a gun, because that was protecting him from her human reaction of what she really wanted to do. Because if you talk to the way these people interact with police officers, if you talk to somebody like that in the real world, you're going to have stronger repercussions. So, you know, do we need to recognize First Amendment? Absolutely. Are we all human? Yep. Should there be a law against being an ignorant jerk? Probably not, but it doesn't make you a good person to do that.
I love that observation about 30% of your pay is just for you to take getting your feelings hurt. That's fab. And I had the same reaction. I thought, you know, what this guy needs is a pretty good punch in the face, and if he hadn't been dealing with the cop, he probably would have gotten it. We're talking to Eric Winstrom. What's that?
I've had so many people tell me, you know, oh, you're lucky you've got that, you know, that badge and gun. Otherwise, you know, this would, and I'm thinking, you're lucky I've got this badge and gun. This is the fact that I'm wearing this, you know, that I'm representing the police is the only thing protecting me from taking action like a normal human would do.
Yeah, no, that's fabulous. I love it. We're talking to Eric Winstrom. He's the Chief Pensacola Police. Hold on just a second, Chief. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries at North Pace Boulevard at West Hayes Street. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Now, you've only been in the job 7 weeks, so this might be the last time that I ask you. I might ask you again, but I always am a big believer in the new eyes phenomenon. You know, when you come into any institution or structure, you see it with new eyes, and pretty quickly you adjust. It's like, you know, daytime eyes in a dark theater, you adjust pretty quickly, but that momentary or maybe a couple of weeks long where it's all new to you, and so you see the ugly, dumb, silly spots better. Are you seeing anything? Is there anything that, you know, you see here that we need to do differently at this point? Because last time you basically said, I mean, things look good, which I understand. But are you seeing anything with your new eyes yet?
Well, I'll keep the statement that I am super optimistic. And the foundation of just an amazing police department with amazing, amazing people is there. So this is definitely, I'm set up for success. Are there things to change? Yes. I mentioned the range for one thing. Training is so important to me. Some less exciting things like our records management system. I've really been taking a deep dive into that because public facing data is so important to me and making sure that we can provide that. You know, I had a request from the mayor, hey, how many the mayor's office asking certain traffic crash data. And it was really hard to draw something that you should be able to easily get from your records management system. I know it's not one of those exciting things that you talk about when you think policing, but so one of the great benefits of this training that I went through over the past couple of weeks, training is so important to me. I really didn't know what we were putting our officers through. And now having gone through so much of it myself and seeing the caliber of the personnel we have working in training, that just made me even more optimistic. We've got such a great foundation and we're headed in the right direction. One other positive thing, I went through this course for lateral, you know, officers coming from out of state, and there were three young men who were coming from, you know, as far away as Wisconsin looking for employment. All three applied to Pensacola and exceptional candidates. That combined with the exceptional people that we have in the academy process right now, things are looking up. We're going to fill the few vacancies that we have and keep looking to build a stronger police department.
Outstanding. Very good. Now, you've got a thing coming up. You're going to be playing basketball at the YMCA. Is that right?
The Escambia Warriors have invited us to participate. It's going to be Saturday, 1 p.m., the downtown YMCA. And the Escambia Warriors, that's a team that is part of the Special Olympics organization, one of my favorite organizations and certainly one of my favorite to partner with from the police department. We have such a good relationship with them in the previous agencies where I've worked, and that relationship is so important to me to support the athletes, support their families. And it's going to be 1 to 3. It's a good time. I know it's open to the public. If you want to stop by and cheer on these athletes, really remarkable group, and it's a lot of fun.
You know, it sounds like one of the things that our local law enforcement does so well is the kind of, some people call it community policing. I think of it more as just public outreach. It's, you know, like the touch a truck stuff or the coffee with a cop or crawfish and, you know, all of the different things that are done as a way of sort of humanizing the police and getting especially young kids in challenged neighborhoods to have contact with law enforcement so that that becomes normal to them and they see you as people instead of, you know, the 5-0 and the badge and all that kind of stuff. I assume these are all things that you intend to continue and expand?
Absolutely. And it's so important that if your only interaction is, you know, you were in the passenger seat of your parents' car when they got stopped and given a ticket, or you were there when your brother got arrested. If you're only having interactions with police officers under, you know, enforcement type scenarios like that, it can really impact how then you see the police and how you yourself interact with the police moving forward. And starting at a young age, these non-enforcement situations, these humanizing, just meeting the police officer and finding out they're more than just the uniform. They're real people. They're good people. They care about people. Not only is it a positive experience, it's good for, you know, that how the perception of policing is, but it can really impact those scenarios moving forward. That same individual who had, you know, this positive experience when he was in class talking to a police officer that stopped by school, 5 years from now, they might be in some sort of crisis and a police officer walks in, and they still have that in their mind. This is a human. This is somebody that cares. So it often just leads to better outcomes.
You know, we're running out of time. I did want to ask you, obviously, there's a small group of people that I do think represent more than just themselves, but they keep coming to the city council meeting to talk about the flock cameras and technology, and they're very passionate, and they don't particularly listen to other people who disagree, and they are socialists, and that's fine. You know, that's legal. But this is a continuing issue, and I know you're an advocate of the technology, and you've said so quite vigorously, but have you and DC maybe talked about the possibility of doing a brief, of doing a Q&A, of doing something to, and I know it may not work for them because they may not be there for just this reason, but for political advantage, whatever, but something so the public can really get their questions answered more than just they get them answered from you and I talking on the radio or something like that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this, from the mayor's office, I know everything's on the table. I think they were probably going a little easy on me, knowing that I was transitioning into this role, that I was doing a ton of training and just sort of, you know, learning everybody's name, where to park, where, you know, everything. But moving forward, I'm huge on transparency. If there are people with sincerely held beliefs and concern, I am always willing to talk with them. And if that also amounts to some sort of presentation, always willing to do that. And Flock is that's an easy one. I mean, in most police officers' mind, that's a ground ball. It's not controversial at all, but it has become sort of a cause that's been carried out by these socialist groups across the country. I've heard the same script over and over the last two departments I've been at. That you'll see the speakers go up with their cell phones and read the group that they get from the socialist group website, and that's fine. But if they're sincerely held beliefs and concerned, and people want to know the actual facts about Flock, I could share it, and they're not, you know, be somebody with a sort of libertarian mindset myself. It's nothing that I'm concerned about, and I grew up in the 1900s, so.
You know. I love that way to say it. Yeah. And that's a great perspective on it. Is, you know, as a libertarian leaning, if you don't have a problem with it, as you say, it's a ground ball for technology within the police community. Eric Winstrom, he is the chief of Pensacola Police. As always, Eric, thank you so much for the time. Glad to know your family is here. And, you know, that's always better, and that you passed your test, and now you're officially a cop since High Noon yesterday, and I feel like the Ennio Morricone soundtrack ought to be running. But fully and officially welcome to town to the job. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Talk soon.
You bet. PJ has traffic on the fives.
U.S. 98 westbound as you're heading towards Gulf Breeze past the Naval Live Oaks area. Seeing quite a bit of congestion right now. 3 Mile Bridge, no delays. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars, about 300 on the lot. And what that means is that every month they sell about half of their inventory. So they sell about 150 and they buy 150. So, by the way, if you have a good quality used car, a year, two, 3 years young, 10 to 40,000 miles, sell it to them. They'll buy it from you real quick, 15 minutes, or they'll consignment sell it for you if you want a higher price. You're willing to wait a little bit, whatever. They just need good inventory. But what that means is that the cars that are there today aren't going to be there in a month. And new cars are coming in all the time, so you got to kind of check and, you know, whatever. But if you have a car that you're looking for, and I say this with all sincerity, if you have a car that, you know, this is your price parameter, this is your mileage, your age, your color, your trim package, and they don't have it, and they may not. I mean, they don't have everything. But if you kind of can get close and find out what you want, but you say, hey, go look for me for this car. They go shopping for people all the time for cars because they're always going to these auctions and these events to acquire, you know, new inventory. And they, you know, they'll call you and be like, hey, I've got a car that's like this. You know, is that a car you might be interested in? That's not an obligation, but, you know, think of them as your personal car buyer. They would love to help you find exactly the car you want. That's just another way that Frontier Motors is serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-983-2077 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today.
800-983-2077. That's 800-983-2077. What do you have to lose? Call 800-983-2077. Again, 800-983-2077.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Nicole Stacy, Vice President of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get tips on the Blue Angels, beaches, festivals, and all things fun. You don't want to miss it.
The thing, too, that I love about where we live and our beaches is that they're family beaches.
Tomorrow at 9, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
7:59 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We've got local news coming up with David Wayne. Do you have a headline maybe for me, David, before we get there?
Sure. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are now allowing credit scores based on rent and utility payments to help your credit score and qualify for mortgages.
Interesting. All right. Hey, you know, if it's going to help people buy homes, hopefully ones that they can afford, that's always been the back end of that question, but if it helps them get into homes, good.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Another Iranian.